to it. It's not wrong yet. Okay. Oh, but this should be all
once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 19th of May 2005, and certainly many directions come into place in the newspaper, and certainly I see here Los Angeles awoke Wednesday to a changing of the guard as Antonia Villagrosa was elected as the city's first Hispanic mayor since 1872. Villagrosa thanked the people who inspired him during his rise from the barrio. Now, what is this going to mean? It's going to mean further implementation of Border 2012, the UN situation that allows the international zone between Mexico and the U.S. to facilitate itself, and there's that UN word, facilitation. It's all coming into place. It's all being maneuvered and manipulated, and that is our problem. We live a life of manipulation, a life of deception. On the shortwave broadcast on WWCR, I covered Dennis's information, which is very, very revealing, about the situation we have today. We have Hansa with us tonight again, but keep this in mind. American communism is there on the website. Leon Trotsky, If America Should Go Communist. American Communism and the Making of Women's Liberation. I covered that tonight on the shortwave broadcast on WWCR. This afternoon, we played a replay because I have this recurring knee injury that kept me from getting to my desk. Keep in mind that Dennis does tremendous updates. Darren does the website, and DarrenWeeks.com, his website. So there's much here on the situation in the world on AmericanExpose.com. Communists have the unique ability to disguise themselves in all kinds of cover legends and ideological fronts, and it is up to us to see through these covers and expose them for the rest of our population. That's coming from the anticommunistanalyst.com, which is the partner website to americanexpose.com. Now, Hansa, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, Chris. I'm glad to be here with you again.
Yeah, very, very good. You might want to speak a little more into the phone. I think we're okay. I think people will be able to understand you very well. And, you know, I keep coming up with these articles in the paper where the Russians celebrate the Nazi defeats that it's very, very, very remarkable. What's your read on democracy, Hansa?
You mean democracy in Russia and Eastern Europe?
Yeah. I mean,
well, there is none. I mean, how can you have a democracy and communists running it? There's no such way. Of course, they rename themselves. They call themselves Democrats nowadays, but they all communists. They all either quote former communists or former KGB agents. So how can we have such a strategic partners? I mean, these people are sworn enemies of freedom. Therefore, there's nothing that these people will do that will actually bring any democracy into the region.
Well, keep in mind, democracy, as you research, is the code word for communism. When you get down to it, communism and democracy work hand in hand, and that's my point, is that we're a constitutional republic. That's what this country is. a constitutional republic with 50 sovereign states with their own constitutions. And that's the mess that's been going on in this country for many, many decades. Now, in Russia, or the former Soviet Union, they had Chechnya, which was a breakaway republic, they called it, which meant that they didn't have any freedom in Moscow or Russia after all, did they?
Absolutely not. There was a Soviet Republic, Soviet Republic, part of the Soviet Republic over there. The interesting fact is that Russia is basically controlling all the territory all over the former Soviet Union. But the thing is, the question about Chechen mafia, I really wanted to talk about this because it's really important to understand that the Chechen mafia was created by Russians to create the notion that Russia also has a problem with terrorism. To make sure that your listeners understand what's going on, the leader of the Chechen mafia is one Shamil Basayev, former, and that's quote-unquote, Red Army Special Forces paratrooper. When I served in the Czechoslovak Communist Air Force, I was drafted. We had also paratroopers in our division, but they were totally separate. They were handpicked soldiers with all of them had communist background, hardened communists, and they there's no such thing as, for example, Shamil Basayev claims he's a born-again Muslim, which is totally laughable. Now, let me make sure that people understand what really goes on over there. All the targets that were blown up, or all the targets that the Chechen mafia picked to attack, were all civilian targets in Russia. There were none that were either military or government targets. If you remember the Moscow theater bombing, or the Beslan massacre at the school. Now, if it makes sense to anybody, why would freedom fighters, as they call themselves, the Chechen mafia, why would they pick civilian targets? Wouldn't they like to have support of the Russian citizens? And wouldn't they rather attack the government and the military targets in Russia? There's something really fishy about the whole setup.
Mm-hmm. Well, in other words, the mafia was created, and it could be former high-ranking officials in the Soviet Union, huh?
They are. They are. There was one person that's involved in the criminal underworld over there. He's also former. I don't have the name right now, but he was also quote former unquote KGB high-level officer. Well, there is basically what really goes on about Russia. These people were all after the so-called collapse of communism. They were all moved to Western Europe and the United States. What they were all immediately involved was sabotage operations, money laundering, spread of drugs. This also, by the way, includes Israel. The Russians in Israel cause major problems to Israel government. So it's basically worldwide. There's a huge Russian community in Australia. And these people are all involved in drugs and prostitution, in basically mafia operations. But they all are, at least the most of the leadership, they all are former KGB officers. So, but they all cause problems to the country where they live in. So, if you consider how come they not caught, how come they still at large, how come they still able to practice what they do, that is these people have the backing of the Russian government. There's no doubt about it. The connection is still there, and this is the Russian mafia should be renamed the Russian State Organized Mafia.
I see. So, with that thought in place, where do you think this is going to take us ultimately?
Well, these people, we have to realize what they're up to, especially the Russians here in America. There's a lot of them that are involved. A lot of Russian families, they are on welfare, especially if you talk about like Los Angeles area or Chicago, major metropolitan areas. There's a lot of Russians on welfare. That means they cause quite an expenditure for the social services. That's not coincidence. And also there are Spetsnaz, that's the Russian Special Forces people in America. They are prepared for carrying out the military orders. These people are here. We cannot for a minute assume that they are friendly to us. But like I said before, there's no way that these people will that our government will understand that this is really a huge problem unless we accept the fact that collapse of communism never happened, and that we should regard Russia, China, and the rest of the former quote unquote Warsaw Pact as our enemies and very aggressive enemies.
Mm-hmm. So the situation that we live today is a manipulative process to make us succumb to this one world dictatorship. One way or the other. Now you're pretty convinced we're going to have war. The government officials have said it's not a matter of if, but when the next terrorist event happens in this country. Will that be attributed to KGB and former Spetsnaz and former KGB? Will that be attributed to them, or and certainly it's hard to determine. But don't the Russians want to promote terrorism throughout the world?
Well, they will. Let me put it this way. The second in command of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zawahiri, he spent time in Russia. He spent 6 months in Russia. Russians didn't bother to... they arrested him, but they let him go. They didn't bother to investigate who he is. We're talking about the best intelligence service in the world, the former KGB, they call it FSB now. Al-Qaeda, through Zawahiri, they do banking through China, and one time had a training camp in Bulgaria. So we're talking about controlling a mechanism of Al-Qaeda that's being run by these forces, by these governments. There are other details about the terrorism and what Russia does. It's a convenient disguise of their own operations. They can always blame everything on Al-Qaeda. Let me give you an example. The bombing in Madrid. There were four Bulgarians that were sought by the authorities because they were the ones that bought the cell phone that was used to detonate the bomb. The Interpol was looking for these people, but then all of a sudden it was all dropped. Bulgarian government had to acknowledge that they were Bulgarian citizens, but then they disappeared, and we don't hear anything about it. So, that was pretty obvious that the situation in Bulgaria was. The situation in Bulgaria was meant to subvert the country into socialism, which actually happened. You can see that. The situation in Spain, was meant to subvert the country into socialism, and the socialist government took over, and they immediately started withdrawing the Spain forces from Iraq. So you have four Bulgarian citizens involved in the bombing, and you have socialist government taking over. What is it all about? That's the strategy behind it. There are, of course, other details. Like, for example, supplying of weapons to terrorists. There was an article in Czech Republic that was based on a German article that was published in German press about Czech citizen selling thousands of machine guns and about 2 million rounds of ammunition to Hamas, the terrorist organization Hamas. Well, this citizen, his last name is Kopp, K-O-P-P. Well, that's unusual name for a Czech person. I mean, that's not a Czech name. You know what that means in English. But in the German report, this name was not even mentioned. So, you know, you have to always think that these people do damage control if something gets published in the West. What was really important was the fact that there were two, again, quote-unquote, former GRU, Russian military officers that were involved, they were based out of Kazakhstan, that were involved in the transfer of this weaponry and ammunition to Hamas. And also, there was, again, former, quote-unquote, Czechoslovak communist espionage officer that was, by the way, till 2002, Czech Republic ambassador in Kazakhstan, and they were involved in the transfer of these weapons. What happened was that these weapons were transferred through clandestine set up front companies. There was a Syrian colonel of Syrian army involved in the transfer, and they used a front company from Yemen to transfer it to this Syrian colonel. He's retired, by the way, but Syrian colonel company, and then this company transferred the weapons and the ammunition to Hamas. And this is just one of the very, very many cases that we can see. So it's always somebody that we don't know anything about, like this gentleman Kopp. By the way, Czech Republic published that this gentleman is hiding in Liberia in Africa, and then there's no way that they can get him extradited. So just to give you that idea. But there are always such people involved, and we have to think that these are criminal enterprises, but in fact and in reality these are state-run enterprises to supply the terrorists with weapons and to basically be able to claim neutrality and non-involvement.
I see here that on January 3rd, 2005, the Associated Press carried a story on December 18th of 2004 regarding the escalating violence in Mosul in the coming elections in Iraq. Buried in the article was the comment, quote, "Although the election campaign officially kicked off Wednesday, so far only the Iraqi Communist Party, which is part of the U.S.-installed interim government, was known to have a public gathering," end quote. Is that your read on the situation too?
Well, I reported on my website about Mufid al-Jazairi, who has STB Czechoslovak Communist file. He's a member of the Iraqi Communist Party. He's probably there's this really good suspicion that he's working for the KGB, for the Russians. Because he studied one time, I think it was reported, if I'm not mistaken, he was also in Russia during the 60s in the Soviet Union. So there are people. He was Mufid al-Jazairi was also part of the anti-Saddam underground. They were fighting Saddam, but to understand this, when Saddam Hussein agreed to cooperate with the KGB, these people were all recalled and moved back to where they were active. That means Jazairi went back to Czechoslovakia during the communist era. So Saddam Hussein had agreement with the KGB since 1973, based on my research. And So if we see communists in Iraqi government, we should be screaming very loud that they have no business to be in any kind of government, because they'll always be involved in subversive operations and taking over the freedom of people and taking over the process, and they'll be installing their ideology into the country where they active in. So no matter what country we deal with, if there are communists involved in that country, we should very much watch out.
Well, the question is, are our soldiers over there to help establish communism in Iraq, is the question.
Well, it's all part of the misconception of what communism is all about. This is, we were treated to by the Russians through carefully designed strategy that communism is something that we shouldn't be worried about. This was part of the detente policy. Acceptance of communism is very much apparent in America because we are accepting people that we should be rejecting. Therefore, it's no surprise to me that the acceptance of these people in Iraqi government and in Iraq is pretty much apparent, and unfortunately our leaders are not really thinking clearly that these people have no business to be in any kind of government. So yes, we are unfortunately installing people that we should be rejecting, and unfortunately I don't think there's any kind of conspiracy. It's just a misconception on part of the U.S. leaders. Of course, when we talked about this before, there are people in our government that work for the enemy that are supporting this, of course, and they're supporting this policy because that helps the communists to achieve their goals. So we must not forget that. But as far as the policy of the government, I don't think it's part of the policy. It's just a matter of misunderstanding or total misconception what communism is all about.
I see. Well, certainly you have on your website indications of concentration camps. You have a world view of the infiltration of communists in other countries. You see South Africa is almost total communist at this point in time. We have communists 90 miles off the shore of Florida, communist Cuba. Ultimately, we're looking at a picture that is not pleasant, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just another argument why the collapse of communism never happened. Because if the communism collapsed, how come these people are all able to gain power, in these various countries? Let's look at Venezuela situation, for example. Hugo Chavez, who's a friend with Fidel Castro. Hugo Chavez is communist. He stated clearly that he considers America as he regards America as an evil country and enemy of Venezuela. He controls all the oil in that country. So, and that was, of course, let me make sure that people understand this. All around Africa and South America, there were communist services, espionage services involved for long years in subversive operations and gathering information of various politicians, compromising them through corruption and recruiting them. So if you look at it's not really surprising to me that we look at places like Venezuela, for that matter, places like Colombia, where the communist guerrilla is trying to take over the power, and they are supplied by weapons coming from from Venezuela, and also there's some Cuban involvement in the supplying of the weapons there to the communist guerrilla warfare people. But when we look at the spread of communism around the world, you have to kind of take a look what Russia is doing. Russia is denying that there's any involvement, or Russia is claiming that they are strategic partners. But at the same time, they're supplying weapons to terrorists. They're supplying weapons through clandestine means, through disguised front companies, to these communists fighting in South America. Those are Russian weapons these people are using, so they got to be coming from somewhere. I mean, and it's always set up the way that there's always a front guy that later claims that he, you know, that it's his private enterprise, and he's called as a criminal by the states, and then we absorb this deception and think that, well, maybe Russia should get another chance, and maybe we should just close our eyes and engage in this kind of wishful thinking that Russia is no longer enemy, which is one of the gravest mistakes America can ever make.
Well, and certainly you have the African National Congress, the ANC in Africa, that was communist-backed too, wasn't it?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, the president of South Africa, his last name is Mbeki, he studied in the Patrice Lumumba University in Moscow. It was a school for revolutionaries. And so he's got KGB training, basically. And when we talk about Nelson Mandela, not a lot of people know that Nelson Mandela, first of all, was a terrorist and communist.
He was a terrorist, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He actually, as a matter of fact, he got caught with explosives, and that's why he was convicted in court and sentenced to long-term prison. He was ready to go blow up a government building, and I think it was in Johannesburg. So this is very well documented. It's just it's not replied anymore. People don't talk about it, but that's the fact from South Africa.
Didn't Nelson Mandela, along with Winnie Mandela, invent the form of necklacing?
Oh, that I don't know. I don't.
You know what
I'm
necklacing
not that familiar
is?
With that. No.
You don't know what necklacing is?
No, not really.
That's when someone's hands are tied behind his back. They put an old tire around his neck, fill it with gasoline, and light it on fire.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Necklacing.
I wouldn't be surprised.
We're with Hans Molina again. Hans Molina at the anticommunistanalyst.com is the website. If you have any questions, 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773 is the call-in number for Hans Molina and myself. 559-781-3773.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
What do you know about the FTAA, the proposed free trade area of the Americas? Proponents tell us that the FTAA is merely about lowering trade barriers. They say it's a plan to create prosperity and enhance freedom throughout the Western Hemisphere, and that busy Americans don't need to be concerned about it. But they aren't telling us about the massive loans, bribes, and transfers of authority. They aren't telling us that their goal is to eliminate our independence by creating a new regional government. They aren't telling us that the FTAA is really part of a huge power grab. The proponents simply aren't proclaiming their true intentions. But you can learn what they are. Visit StopTheFTAA.org. Then tell Congress to reject any plan for the free trade area of the Americas. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
Broadcast. Hans Molina is the guest. Anti-communist analyst.com is the website. And I see here that dealing with concentration camps today, 2005, in Soviet Belarus, or former Soviet Belarus, or whatever you want to call it, 41 camps and prisons. Estonia, 9 camps and prisons. Latvia, 22 camps and prisons. Lithuania, 20 camps and prisons. Moldova, 37 camps and prisons, and the Ukraine, 235 camps and prisons. You must have some good sources to find this information, I presume.
Well, there is the source that I I value. I just linked to that article, I think, if it's the one that you're referring to. In the case of, let's say, Czechoslovakia, they tested operation called codename Norbert. This operation was involving setting up concentration camps around Czechoslovakia. They had three code subsections of this operation. The first one was involving arrest, deportation, and or liquidation of foreigners. The second part was for unlimited censorship. And the third one was action to destroy all independent publications and transfers of information. There were in this operation, there were 1,200 agents involved just for this testing operation. And they were doing this on paper. They were basically arresting people and picking up people, setting up documentations, and there were a list of members of the anti-communist operation opposition. The list that was uncovered thanks to some vigilant people that watched the communists to move documents. They stopped the truck and they uncovered these documents. There were about on the list there were about 9,000 people just on the list. But there were already set up three concentration camps in Czechoslovakia at that time. And God knows how many more. Of course, there was investigation of this after the new regime came in, the so-called democratic regime, but of course that investigation never produced any results. They covered it all up, and there were documents ordered to be destroyed by the communists, so nobody ever uncovered anything. And, of course, as it was practice, usual practice, there were documents transferred to Moscow for later use. So these operations are still valid and still accurate. These people will never stop to use these kind of means to control the populations and control the people in opposition. But of course, another operation that was involving the codename VEG was involving uncovering any kind of opposition. This involves all churches. This involves all conservative groups. in the West and also in Eastern Europe and Russia. I have really good information on, about this Operation Wedge because this involves uncovering these agents always use some kind of cover legend why they need this kind of information, and then they cover they collect data about various persons, and in the case of the United States, there are, for example, websites set up that present themselves as anti-communist and or conservative. And these websites are trying to get as much information on the people that post there, just to have the general idea where these people live. And this kind of statistical data is very valuable for the Russian military, because when there are people with the understanding that Russia is our enemy living in the area, when the war starts, Russians will claim that they had nothing to do with it, and this is all part of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. And of course, there are going to be people that understand that Russia is behind it, and so these people are the major enemy of the communists, and they will be possibly liquidated first.
Do you honestly think that there's plans for a third world war?
Absolutely. The plans are still valid. As a matter of fact, there was an article in Czech Republic press that involved statements from former communist generals, and it was tied up to the communist Warsaw Pact plan to invade Europe, Western Europe, and the plan was very real. They wanted to use nuclear weapons against any targets, submit most of the big cities into rubble, and just drive and drive through and control the territory. And the plan was that from the Czechoslovak border to the west coast of France, it was supposed to be implemented and in 7 days, basically. And the Czech generals today, the former communist generals, they said that at this point that the plans are still doable, that they still can do it in that amount of time. We have Russian state building new weapons, preparing themselves for some kind of war. They are clearly building new bunkers, nuclear production sites underground, preparing themselves, that they never state that who's the enemy. So there are statements from Vladimir Putin about America. There are statements from various leaders from the former communist countries that indicate that the Cold War is not over. And so the next logical thing is what will happen next. Why are they building these underground sites and new missiles and state-of-the-art technologies? It's clearly for use.
Now I'm
and the use
at,
against America.
I'm looking at concentration camps today in the Ukraine, which supposedly there are 235 of them, and there's 4 death camps in various vicinities in the Ukraine, and the death camps are attributed to underground uranium mines and uranium mines as well, and they're death camps. What would they be pulling uranium out of the mines for?
Nuclear weapons, that's obvious.
Yeah.
All political prisoners in Czechoslovakia were, most of the political prisoners were run through the uranium mines during the communist era, and most of the Catholic clergy were sentenced to these places. The survival rate was 10 years. That was the maximum, because these people had to work and really slave unbelievable unbelievable situation, basically conditions. They had no protection against radiation. They were breeding. The drills had no water cooling, so they were breeding all that nuclear dust, the radiation dust.
Wow.
It was really horrible. And so whoever survived 10 years was lucky. So,
but they wouldn't last much longer than that, though.
Right. No. There was no case known that these people survived.
So those that go to these areas of the four death camps, hunting for uranium, are actually building helping to build the Soviet military structure.
Absolutely.
Now we see labor camps and forced concentration camps for children, 15 of them in the Ukraine, 11 of them for women and babies. What could they possibly be doing in these camps for these children and women?
That I don't know, but it's probably to use their parents for some kind of operations. I really don't know, because there's so much unknown in their strategy. But it again illustrates that what these people are capable of. Speaking of women and children, I have, just to show you how evil the Russian government is and always have been, the communists, when they invaded Czechoslovakia in 1968, they came to, this was told to me by my mother, because she knew a person that lived in that town. And of course the people had no weapons to fight the Russians, so all they, you know, basically to sabotage the Russian effort, when they came in tanks, they took down all the street signs and road signs. So the Russians, European towns are built, you know, they're old towns, so it's kind of difficult to get out if you don't know which way to go.
Hard to navigate,
exactly. And so the Russians were circling with tanks around the town square, and when they really got upset, nobody would help them. Nobody would answer their questions. People were just ignoring them and trying to get out of there. They started shooting at people, and they killed entire kindergarten class with over 20 kids and two female teachers. Just to show they had no remorse or anything to do that, just to make the point, they started shooting at children, killing them. So once these people get orders to kill, they will kill. And we should better watch out, you know, because it's not that far away.
Now let me ask you now, some of the sources of this information about the concentration camps comes from the first guidebook to prisons and concentration camps of the Soviet Union by Bantam Books, out of New York, dated 1982. Could it be that they've cut back on concentration camps? Could it be that it's changed now? I'm just questioning, that's all.
It's much more, I would say it's much more disguised, I guess. I wouldn't put it that way. Like I told you, I think it was yesterday, these people... most of the political prisoners are not registered in a, or not sentenced as such. There's always some kind of criminal code which they are sentenced on, and so they are regarded as criminals, basically. But in reality, they are political prisoners. These cases are really very carefully disguised. And so Russia wouldn't have to answer how come they have political prisoners and claim to have or at least claim to try to build democracy and freedom. Yes, there are such camps, but they are much carefully disguised except in the remote areas where no journalists are allowed and people don't really go, so those places still exist. But there are any prison camps around Moscow or in that area, they would be very much disguised as the regular prisons.
I see. Well, this is all very, very interesting, and certainly the press doesn't cover any of this information. I see from CNN, China rejects U.S. currency criticism. Chinese minister, Commerce Minister Bo Zhai said Wednesday that those charges made by the U.S. Treasury Department a day earlier were unfounded, and evidently Beijing has rejected U.S. criticism that its currency policy has turned China into a manipulative trade partner and that the yuan should quickly be reevaluated. Communist China and Soviet Union have been allied for years. They were never apart from the partnership of taking down this world, were they?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. It was stated by KGB defector Anatoly Golitsyn, and it's perfectly honest. You know, even during the Sino-Soviet split, so-called split, there were still delegations from China and Russia meeting in both countries, attending conventions and basically working together and agreeing on certain strategies. So these people never ceased to cooperate. It was carefully designed to paint China as sort of acceptable communist country, which also the agents of influence here in America were always jumping on this kind of dangerous acceptance of communism, and they were promoting China and Chinese American relationship. And so today we can see that this is just the aftermath of our acceptance of communism as just another ideology. Not too many people know what communism is all about. I'm afraid that many Americans will learn the hard way.
Well, they can certainly see our website and Dennis's entries into today regarding that situation with communism, and it's very, very obvious to those that do any kind of research at all that we've been duped. We've been fed a line and a lie. We're having to purchase products made in communist China as most of our industries moved there, and yet that industry will never be able to come back home, will they?
I wouldn't say never, but not before the whole ordeal is over. Let me put it this way. When you see easy money, easy profit, the communists, especially there was a department directorate of the KGB in Moscow. They studied, the entire directorate that was studying United States and Canada and the Western world. They knew, they researched on everything we do here. So they know our political system, they know our way of life, they know our society, what we like. And, they prepared this strategy that they will supply cheap labor, offer amazing concessions after they will start pretending that their system of government collapsed, the communism collapsed. And that way they will take away our production means, which is also those are strategic production means during the war. And so when we close our companies, our factories, and move the production to these countries because they offer cheap labor, if they hit us in a war conflict, they will have all the means to produce more weapons, and we'll be basically in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose we're relying on our covert military capabilities that we're not told about to keep us in protection, meaning the space-based weapons maybe that we have and the nuclear submarines that are silent and quiet. Wouldn't they be good deterrents to keeping a war from happening?
Well, I don't think it's enough.
And also the infiltration into our government to not make it happen too.
Especially the infiltration of our intelligence services, because they clearly are not reporting what really went on in Eastern Europe, that the whole collapse of communism is a fraud. Therefore, American society accepts this deception as genuine, and all related policy coming out of our government is based on this deception. So we swallowed something that we should have rejected in the first place. And today we trying to figure out that what really goes on, and we still believe that the collapse of communism did happen. Therefore, these changes in Eastern Europe and Russia don't make sense to many people. They are pretty much getting ready, and so that was their strategy in the first place, to make sure that America doesn't understand what really goes on in Soviet Union, in Russia, and Eastern Europe.
Most individuals that see the light are controlled to continue this this communist direction in these communist countries. Some of them want to defect. Some of them want to leave, such as yourself. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely, but it wasn't that easy. You know, it wasn't that easy.
Well, I see here, dated May 17th from Epoch Times, resigning from Chinese Communist Party, declaration by Liaoning, lawyer and wife. And they talk about the fact that they're trying to resign and get out of the Communist Party. Now, the democracy movement over there at one time, the shooters of the people, the military, they've been put under house arrest, according to some information I've received, and they're not allowed to associate with anyone. These are the military that came on and shot on the quote-unquote democracy demonstration people. And so this is very interesting information too. This Taiwan situation, where communist China says yes, Taiwan's part of our country. Taiwan rejected communist China and moved to Formosa, which turned into Taiwan. So we have melting pots for future wars. We have North and South Korea, we have Taiwan and China. What do you think is going to happen in the very near future?
Well, it's hard to predict, but I think that the whole bloc is pretty much set. They are ready as they ever be. They just fine-tuning the final preparations. But you can read the statements from, let's say, Vladimir Putin, that these statements are really clear. They are designed to support the military, to make sure that the target is clear and then the mission is clear. I would say we don't have more than a year left in that sense, because they can't wait too long. There's always possibility that the U.S. government will figure it out and start protecting America more aggressively and carefully. These people have to monitor everything, and when there's some kind of danger that America starts smell the garbage, they will unleash the beast and start hitting us really, really badly. And they will all be disguised as terrorism in the first place. What I'm saying is, don't count on any isolated attacks like the 9/11. That was just a test, in my opinion. That was a test of our response. We have to count on major terrorist attack in America cities. An information, there was a GRU, Soviet Russian military intelligence defector, Colonel Stanislav Lunev. He defected to the United States in 1992. Lunev reported that Russia's military, despite the end of the Cold War, continues to prepare for a war with the United States. Lunev also claimed that he had collected information on the U.S. president and senior U.S. political and military leaders so they could be targeted for assassinations in the event of war As part of this mission, Lunev claimed to have obtained from the Soviet Union several suitcase nuclear bombs that were prepositioned in the United States and stored in hiding places where they could be concealed until needed. So I'm quoting a Newsmax article about Colonel Lunev. He was saying that there is about 100 or even more suitcase nukes in the United States already. And it's just he was in charge of 12 of them, as he claimed. But there are at least 100 of them, and of course there's containers are coming from Eastern Europe, from China. We don't know what is in them.
Yeah, I say it all the time, don't I?
yeah. The only port I know of that has the detection devices for gamma radiation is Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we have China Shipping, we have Hanjin Company, Hanjin Terminal, Hanjin, Chinese company, is, for example, right near downtown Seattle. So they have terminal right there. All they have to do is bring one nuclear bomb in a lead container, so the radiation would be detected, and leave it there with the detonation devices, and just leave and let it sit there for a little bit, or move it to another location. They have people in Seattle.
Hans, I appreciate you being with us. We're out of time. We'll talk some more, and we'll do some more of this next week, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate your time, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Three Nights with Hans Molina. We'll do some more with him next week at certain strategic times. Check the website for those times, listeners. And God bless each and every one of you. Pay attention to Darren Weeks tomorrow and Monday. Very important additions to AmericanExpose.com.
Record budget deficits, bankruptcies galore, and the U.S. dollar is at an all-time low. With today's gloomy economic outlook, safe investments are often hard to find. For over a decade, Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company has been helping people secure their future by investing in the precious metals. Melody has the honesty, integrity, and experience that is often lacking in the precious metals business. Let her put it to work for you. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 800-